This is Akafe. Laura Marie and Jessica Marie proudly present A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, a podcast. Fair warning, everything the hosts say is explicit, full of spoilers and adult content, and shall not be used against them. They have opinions. Let's try not to drag anyone for expressing themselves and just have fun for an hour. We all deserve it.
This episode contains spoilers from Ferngully with mentions of Aladdin, Bluey, Captain Planet, and Avatar. For full list, please see show notes. And welcome to A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, your weekly deep dive into the fantasy, literature, and fandoms that we love. I'm Laura Marie.
And I'm Jessica Marie.
And I'm today, Sam
Marie. No.
Again!
Stop it. And today we are welcoming back a very special guest and our well-established friend, Editor Sam. Welcome back to the podcast, Editor Sam.
How does it feel to be back in the hot seat, Sam?
It's good. It's pretty good. Not talking about a video game, but, you know, next best thing.
Next best thing. You have fans that have demanded your return. You can never say that we don't listen to our fans, Colin.
Miss you, bud.
So here we are. We are talking about Ferngully. Now, Jess, why don't you share with Sam and listeners how we conduct our movie episodes?
So, Sam, typically with our movie episodes, we kind of give some background of our personal experience with the movie, if we watched it growing up or if this is the first time we've ever watched it. Typically when we watch our movies, also we'll watch it once as a vibe and twice if we're trying to be super serial and analytical about it. But this is a very vibey movie, Ferngully, and we knew that Earth Day is on a Monday. Our episodes launch on a Monday. And wanted to get your background and experience and knowledge when it comes to Ferngully.
Yeah, so I only rewatched this once, but part of that is because... Are you going to be okay, Laura?
I don't know.
For the listeners, she's Laura is cracking up just looking at my face, which
something.
Is like mildly insulting.
I cannot believe you just casually dropped Pigman Bear Pig, and it's not like something.
Serious.
It was super serial, you guys. We're super serious. Like, stop it.
Yeah, so I watched this movie a ton growing up, and I called my mom last night to check and see, like, what were her memories of it, and, like, could she tell me any fun stories about me, like, being obsessed with Batty or something, and and she said... that this was a funny thing, but she couldn't remember ever having seen it.
Despite you watching it like a million
times.
Like a million times. She said that must have been something that I just put on and had you and Jean watch together, which is hilarious.
Because you would be entertained. She could walk away.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she said it could have been like any other movie, like Aladdin or Little Mermaid or something she had really good memories of, but this one specifically, not so much. Anyway, I remember being obsessed with it, and you know, we'll get into my specific memories of it and the like almost sense memories that were unlocked when I rewatched it a couple days ago.
Like things you totally forgot about until the rewatch?
Some things I forgot about, but some things I remember deep in my bones for sure.
Laura, what was your experience with Ferngully?
Okay, so I'm gonna be so real about this. I remember watching this as a very, very young child, but I also remember that it was like not Disney. Do you know what I mean? There was a handful of movies that came out when we were kids that are fantastic, but are not Disney.
It's like this and Land Before Time and Brave Little Toaster.
We're Back, a Dinosaur Story.
Yes. Yes. Well, Jess, drop your favorite. It starts with an A.
Oh, it is Anastasia.
Anastasia.
I love Anastasia. Everybody thinks it's a Disney movie and it isn't. Well, it is now, technically.
Thumbelina, right?
Oh, Thumbelina. Like, yeah. There were some core. We might have to touch Thumbelina on here, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of like really core wonderful movies that were not Disney that dropped when we were kids. But I remember being like, this isn't Disney. This isn't the thing that I am very familiar with. So it stuck with me. Also, I loved the animation. I love the animation of Krista's eyes and like of the fairies.
Oh, I love the animation of Krista's eyes as well. Really, all of Krista, just top notch.
We're gonna talk about Krista. There's a lot going on with Krista that really shouldn't be in a kids movie. What the hell is that?
Whatever. You know, I liked it.
And that's why you watch it a million times.
That's why you watch it a million times.
Could be.
But the thing is, the animation is wonderful. The songs are strange for a kids movie. But I'm saying all of this to say that this baddie song that Robin Williams performs here stuck in my head.
A baddie rap.
Yes.
We get 3 minutes of straight Robin Williams dropping fire. Fantastic.
This is absolutely true.
And this is before he became Genie. Like, this was his first animated role, which was like one of the fun facts that I looked up. I was like, holy shit. And even with this movie in general, they pushed the release date from the original one because they didn't want to compete with Beauty and the Beast, which you can't. But like, let this stand on its own too, which is why we're discussing it.
Well, Jess, tell us, you.
Oh gosh, I feel like my memory, I remember I watched it. I remember thinking a lot of things about Krista. And I also just remember the baddie song. But rewatching it, I did not realize it was like 5 minutes into the movie we get baddie. The movie's also only like an hour and 15 minutes, and that's being generous. So it's really, really quick. The only other thing that I remember about watching this growing up is Hexus. I hated Hexus. He terrified me. Very much like in Anastasia, and you have like Lucifer and that scene. Like, I always stopped Anastasia at that part growing up. And I feel like Hexus, I stopped because I remember he was like sludgy tar. And then when he gets into his skeletal form, I was like, yeah, this is definitely where I stopped. Because I didn't even remember that Zach went back to the human world.
So I made it through this whole movie, but I did used to get really scared in The Little Mermaid when her dad yells at her. That was too much for me, which should probably talk to a psychologist about.
I think it's very sweet.
Don't yell at me.
I want to point out just the similar animation vibes in the way that Hexus's skeleton is revealed and the way that Ursula does her thing when she's real big in The Little Mermaid. The animation is similar in vibes and style, though not done by the same person, I believe.
I wonder if it was like the genre in that, I want to say decade, but it wasn't the entire 90s. This is like very early 90s.
Mm-hmm. 92.
And we've also discussed about like the production that even though this was released in 92, I mean, it's a process. Everything was done by hand then also. So this easily started in the late 80s. You can tell by some of the animation. You can tell by the song choices. So you see that where it's like 92 is the final production.
Well, let's talk about the animation and jump into this movie. How old were you when you figured out that this took place in Australia?
I probably knew at the time, and then I forgot. And Laura spoiled it for me when we were rewatching, but I would have figured it out when I saw a kangaroo.
Oh. Would you?
Because I think so.
I don't think I would have. I would have, because when I watch rainforest movies like this, I'm just like, oh, all these magical animals. Because I'm
like
not
a general rainforest
vibe. I'm not thinking that it's like a specific place, but it actually very much is.
Yeah, and to be fair, almost no one has an Australian accent.
Yeah, for real. What is Zach? Like, what is Zach? Is he American? Like,
which is funny because you also see his ID and it says, like, I was looking at there's things that I picked up. Like, okay, you have platypus, which is obviously Australia. You have the kangaroos, which is obviously Australia. There was a golden eagle, which is typically to Australia. And I know that from the Rescuers Down Under.
Was it a golden eagle? I thought it was a golden eagle.
Maybe
I didn't look too close.
I assumed it was a golden eagle. But all of that to say, I didn't know it was Australia. Just vibed.
Should we get into the plot of the movie? Because I feel like I'm going to start getting ahead of things.
Okay, so we have brought Sam on to discuss this because we are talking about Earth Day, right? Earth Day, we're saving the rainforest for our children's children is the whole thing about this movie. So why don't we actually talk about it? Jess, how about you give me who these people are? Who are these characters?
Yo, Christian Slater.
Oh my gosh.
Threw me. I was like, who is this person? Honestly, Christian Slater and Robin Williams were the only names. Oh, obviously, and Tim Curry. So Tim Curry is Hexus, who we all love Tim Curry. Sam is a super fan of Tim Curry. I was so surprised with Christian Slater because I was like, okay, this is 92. Oh my gosh, this was the year that, or these were like the years peak Christian Slater when he was doing Interview with the Vampire. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he's playing Lucian Ferry. And he's also doing Interview with the Vampire with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise and Kirsten Dunst. And then you have Robin Williams, which this is, again, like we mentioned earlier, his first animated film. He did this before Aladdin, and they cut a lot of his dialogue out because if anybody's familiar with Robin Williams, rest in peace, he ad-libs a lot. I just would love all of his cut pieces that are definitely not safe for kids, but would make these roles so fun.
Yeah, I'm sure the script just said, Robin, vamp for 15 seconds here.
Yeah, just like, give us something, Robin. Give us something. We'll make it work. Just amazing. And we also have Cheech and Chong. Cheech and Chong are in here too. We have to mention them. They are fun. they are like, you know, famous people, and they're in here too. And
they ride the Beatles, right? They're the fairies that ride the Beatles.
And Krista was not an actress that I was like familiar with, but she's worked with a bunch of these people before, so it was like bringing her in. So that was fun. That was good to know. Sam, what are you typing?
Samantha Mathis. I'm just looking her up.
Oh, just looking her up. Samantha Mathis. Okay, so I think it's very safe to say that we all, Sam probably more so, love Tim Curry. We know this. Tim Curry, his role is not huge in this. I mean, in a short movie, he steals the show, but it's not a huge role. And I do have to say that this movie, like, very abruptly, it's like, la da 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 da, no, plot, done. It kind of falls right off a cliff, which I think is really fun. So, okay, Sam, why don't you talk to us about how this movie starts?
I have a question. Is there a pattern? Does it follow the pattern?
Great question.
I'm gonna be honest. I've heard y'all talk about the pattern a lot.
Ooh.
I do not listen to every second of every episode. I don't know what the pattern is.
Oh. Laura, this is your time to shine.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
So maybe explain it to me, but also for the people who might be listening to the podcast for the first time.
Oh, that's true.
So the pattern is something that I came up with.
Yeah, you picked it up and were like, wait, I have a thing.
Okay. So the pattern is something that I kind of noticed when we were reading books. And I kind of based this off of crime procedurals about how it's like always the first person. The first person that they interview is the person that does it in a crime procedural always. That's just what it is. So it kind of got me thinking when we're talking about books, I started to notice when I was doing a reread that the entire plot is revealed to you within the first five chapters of the book. Ideally, in the prologue, the entire plot will be laid out for you. But within the first five chapters, for sure. And so far, since we have started like actively looking for it, it has panned out in, I think, every instance.
Almost every instance, almost consistently within the prologue. So when it goes into the chapter one and not the prologue, we get a little mad about it. But then we started questioning, can you apply the pattern to some of like the media that we watch, whether it's television or movies? And so far, yes, And then there are some times where we've had to work it out where one person didn't think it did and then the other person didn't. And then we kind of came forward with why we came to that conclusion.
Makes sense. That?
Yeah, does it? Does it? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you think so? Okay. So just to answer your question, yeah, this is bang on for the pattern. So we start with the hands and the cave paintings. We've got Body Glove is in there, one of those hands. And we have Maggie talking about the Madge. Sorry, I love Christian Slater when he does that. What's the Madge have to say? We start with...
She's like, I love that part where she's like, you can't teach me shit.
Oh, we've got Maggie giving the voiceover of the whole plot. Thank you, Maggie. Tree spirits and the humans, they were like really good friends, right? And then Hex disappears and starts wiping out the forest and the humans, blah, 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 blah. And then we all trap them in a tree with the magical powers of nature. And Krista, coming into our present day, does not give a single fuck about this. So much so that she's like, yeah, but she did that like so long ago.
And then we'll complain, why isn't my magic working?
Yeah, she's like, it's totally safe though, right? Like, right, Maggie? All right, bye. Bye. And then we have our...
It's never really explained. Like, she has this look on her face like, I need to be somewhere. I have so much other stuff to do. And then she just like... doesn't do anything.
No, she just wants to fly around the rainforest and go above the canopy and become bird food.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what she does, which is very funny because we're introduced to like Cheech and Chong and the little like biker gang. I don't know what you would call the Beetle Gang. Yeah, the Beetle Gang. And Christian Slater, who's Pips. And I love Christian Slater. This animation is very spot on for the original Peter Pan. Some of his like side profiles are like it is exact copy of Peter Pan. So I don't know what was going on.
And then like Peter's ginger floppy hair.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Karma is a bitch. Okay. I think that it is important to say that Maggie's like, yeah, but like, because Krista sees the smoke in the canopy and she almost gets eaten by Hawk, just as you said. And she goes to Maggie and she's like, hey, I have to tell you about all this stuff. Maggie's like, yo, it can't be hexes because there's no poison here. And Sam, you are like, oh.
Not at this point. But that is something that I didn't remember originally ever having processed. But then later something comes up that like makes things click for me.
It was really very fun. And also just as you said, like Krista's powers don't work. She's like, make it grow, Krista. And Krista's like, why can't I do it? And she's like, cause you don't like
actually, try.
She gives her a sick burn. She's like, everybody can do it, Krista. You just have to like look within yourself. Don't you want it to happen? She's like, And she does that thing that we all talked about, which is called biting of the lip. Krista, what are you doing?
There's a lot of that.
There's too much of that, Krista. We are all children here. Okay, so Sam, as a child, were you attracted to Krista?
I don't think so. I think probably at that point, I was still looking up to her as like a teenager. Like to me, 16 was like the coolest age you could be. And I imagine she was 16 and like they were all so cool.
And like in the rainforest. And yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I think we're all very aware now as adults that Krista is smoking hot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah.
She's fine as hell.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It does not have to be that way. Okay. All right. This is where Christian Slater like what says, what's the Madge have to say? She's like, she said that I need to stop hanging out with bums like you and get serious. And he was like, get serious. All right. And she's like, what? But then in comes Batty. Tell us about Batty.
Batty rules, obviously. Who wouldn't love Batty? It's Robin Williams doing Robin Williams things. He's a bat that has recently returned from the rainforest after being experimented upon by some kind of biology lab. He's got an antenna coming out of the side of his head. And as you might expect, based on his name, he's a little off kilter. He gets intermittent reception on the antenna, it seems like, and it makes him do Robin Williams impressions of various like TV shows and cultural references. But he is all about his trauma of having been captured by humans and taken away. So he is not a big fan of humans.
Rightfully so. Like, yeah. Nobody's a fan of humans, honestly.
Except Krista. We'll get into it. But yeah. Batty, though, at this point, his song, as a child, obviously, it slaps. As an adult, you're like, whoa, I was singing this? Whoa. They're talking about animal testing. They're talking about, like, just straight up unaliving animals. There's graduate student references. There's all sorts of things going on. And he says that he came from a biology lab. So, like, you can put all of this together. And that's not great. But I also just want to, like, kind of put this in with Captain Planet. We had some really good environmental cartoons growing up. Just want to point that out there. The little end lessons on the after the regular episode of Captain Planet, those slapped, and those were usually about animal testing. I remember that very clearly. Hmm. Yeah, right? Like, so it's been out there. It's been out there. Batty doesn't like humans. Krista's like, "Yeah, but like so nothing bad ever happened to me yet." Like, right. Oh, to be 16. I mean, we're assuming. Do we know their age?
No, I was assuming when I was a kid.
Yeah. But I mean, that seems about the right age. She acts the same way that Ariel acts when you were like, you know, Krista likes humans. Krista loves humans just the way that Ariel was like kind of obsessed with humans too. So like.
Well, and then nobody's also telling her the truth, because even when she flies above the canopy and then she's like, "I have to find Maggie. I need to tell her what I saw." And Maggie is saying like, "Yeah, she knows. Yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's just smoke." And then when Krista flies off to do whatever she wants to do, Maggie moves the forest and she's like, "Shit, that is Exodus."
Yeah, I think she was trying to like reassure Krista, like, "Everything's probably fine. It's no
big
deal.
Fine. Everything's fine.
We've seen smoke before." Yeah.
Well, and she dropped like a reverse Buffy reference where she's like, you know, there's no poisons here and there's like no like weapon forged or whatever that can kill him. It's like, yeah, like then, like now things are different, like now, right? Like it's all different now. So I think it is naive of Krista to forget her horror at the sight of seeing all of these trees with the red X's when later when she's talking to Zach and she's like, "Oh, they're magic," right? Like she was terrified here. Looking at this like forest with all of these red X's. And then we are introduced to Zach and the Leveler. How do we feel about Zach?
Zach, I thought, was the coolest guy in the world. He's like, you were asking where he's from. I think he's like California, laid back surfer kind of vibe. He's spray painting things, which was like a cool rebellious activity. He's got a Walkman, which he calls his stereo, which is weird. And he's jamming out while he's spray painting the X's on the trees. And he's a little bit of a goof off. You know, he's too busy dancing and playing his tunes to get his work done on time.
I like your how carefree you're making him, because he is. But I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this Nepo baby just had this internship handed to him. And he's too busy listening to music spraying trees. You just have to work for it. That's what I felt like watching it now. Yeah. I definitely did not think that as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like this, that's the adult perspective on this for sure. Yeah, because he's like he's what, like he's the nephew of the person who owns the logging company or something. Yeah, and so he's a city kid who comes in every summer to I guess spray paint trees.
And here's the thing though, in no universe would I spray paint scary tree like that, Hexus. Absolutely not. Trees can be scary. That tree is terrifying. I'm not getting anywhere near it. Absolutely not.
Zach is doing his thing and he wanders into a clearing where there's this huge gnarled looking tree, that we were told earlier by Maggie is where Hexus was trapped forever and ever using powerful fairy magic. Zach, of course, doesn't know that. He just knows that's a big fat tree that the Leveler can make probably a lot of boards out of. But yeah, it is really gnarly looking.
But I thought part of the reason it was sprayed wasn't an intentional spray from Zach. He was just dumb and a bug was flying around him and he was trying to spray the bug away with the spray paint. And because he's stupid, the tree was marked and he just kept going.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Because I remember thinking, like, why did they bother with that little scene with the fly, like him accidentally spray painting it? Why wouldn't he just intentionally have spray painted it?
Well, they have to move the plot along, right? Like, it has to happen.
We only have an hour, people.
Yeah. And also, I do think it's like, well, he didn't do it, like, intentionally. He can always, like, say later, like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's not like he sat there and looked at it and was like, yeah, this tree has to go. That's probably giving Zach a little bit more credit than is necessary, because I think, personally, that he is just a dum-dum and he is having fun, vibing, does not care about the dangers of the forest, which is...
He's fully golden retriever mood.
Absolutely.
At this point.
Absolutely. Okay, so the leveler, very scary, right? We can all agree, very scary. The poison being sucked into Hexus, also very scary. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hexus, the little, like, oh, my gosh.
So when he accidentally spray paints the tree, that's where I was like, oh, poison. Because Maggie had said there's no poison for him to feed on. But the thing that, like, wakes Hexus up is Zach spray painting it. And it bubbles up.
I didn't pick up on that.
And which is very interesting because right away it's like, oh, this spray paint is poison. Like immediately exactly. It's like not natural to the rainforest. Like it's a very clear line. So it's like, yes, this is. Reading an article that the director put out, he was talking about like he didn't want this movie to be preachy. And he was like very careful to rein in the like message of like, we need to do this or we will die to like fairy forest.
Maybe I should have at this
point.
Yeah,
I know. Like maybe, but, but here we are with our, I don't know. Is he a main character? Yeah. I mean, Zach's a main character. He's our main character. Zach chases Krista. He doesn't know what's going on. He chases this little bug. Again, something I couldn't be me. Could it be me in the fort? Absolutely not. No.
What do you mean? Where he's just like, he's running after her?
Yeah. Chasing something that he doesn't know what it is in the forest? Absolutely not. He does not know this forest. He is dumb as rocks. Where are you going, sir? And of course, he ends up small. So.
Exactly.
Slip of the tongue with her because she was like, magic, give me the size of like, fairy size, and she was like, oh, I meant sight, so he can see me. And then she's like, whoops, well, can't go back on that now.
Well, yeah, she says, whoops, you know, my magic, oh my gosh, my magic. I like also where she looks at him and she's just like, big, he's big size. That's all she can like process, which is amusing, I think. And I like that Batty ends up saving them, and he looks in at Zach, he's like, oh my god, like, what is this? Oh my god. And he's like, shoes. Animals don't wear shoes. I just thought that was very just. I like the way that Batty picks up on things, and he is like desperately trying to tell Krista like this, and this, and Krista's like no.
Krista's very much in her own world. She's her own little fairy nepo baby.
Yeah, and I mean she ends up getting that Zach is a human, but she just doesn't care. She's like too excited to have met a human. To listen to Batty's warnings, right?
And Sam, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that we got a really good laugh out of you with the puff up. They hate that.
Yeah, that was really good. Robin Williams says, oh, puff up. They hate that.
And he's like, it's good. Oh, it's so funny. Okay. I think both of you have mentioned this while we have been talking, but Zach takes the fact that he has been shrunk way better than I think I would.
That was going to be my question to both of you. Like, how do you think you would have been receptive to being shrunk? And then do you think you would have survived?
No.
So it's a really different situation if I just got shrunk and I'm in the middle of the forest and I'm by myself compared to if I'm in the middle of the forest and Krista is standing there in front of me. I'm probably going to play it cool.
If Krista's there.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's exactly what Zach is thinking.
It's like this bodacious babe. I got to keep it together.
Exactly.
I died when he was teaching her like I was like, this is the most 90s thing. Like, bodacious thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's too funny. We have this whole, like, Zach gets lost, right? It's this whole thing. The salamander we are introduced to.
Lou the Goanna, voiced by Tone Loke.
Yes.
Incredibly.
Yes. And it's here where Zach ends up, like, lying to Krista and is like, nah, like, the magic X is, like, totally keep you safe. Like, it's fine. Like, here's fire. I'm totally not going to, like, screw everything up for you. It'll be fine. Totally fine. Meanwhile, Hexus is loose and taking over the machine. Sam, tell me about watching Toxic Love as an adult.
It absolutely rules. You know, a really good, ironic environmentalist anthem. It's Tim Curry. Like, I had never been exposed to Tim Curry before when I was a kid. I didn't recognize his name. Probably the first time I saw him in a movie was Home Alone 2. But now I'm a huge fan of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so it's just an absolute delight to get to watch him sing a song like this. And it's funny you mentioned the similarity of Hexus's animation to Ursula, because Ursula was modeled after a drag queen, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And Tim Curry famously played Dr. Frankenfurter, very much drag queen.
Oh.
So I wonder if that's a sort of parallel there.
Nice connection, yeah. Sam. I mean, dropping all these knowledge bombs. I love it. Jess, how do you feel about Toxic Love?
I wrote, Tim Curry sings. I'm very simple-minded with this movie. I was here for the vibes. I love the message. But it was just very entertaining because he leans into this role. I mean, Tim Curry leans into every role. But it was just like everything with Hexus. I just remember hating it growing up. And then watching it, I was like, I could see why I was scared of this as a kid. But on the bigger theme, you should be scared of, like, toxicity and, like, poison and what's being put on our earth.
Yeah. And every part about Hexus is scary, from the first moment where he's just, like, whispering his name when the poison is sprayed on the trees, to when he's, like, the goopy snake-looking creature that's, like, just a mouth, basically, and he's like, ooh, yes, this is so tasty. And sucking on the tailpipe, to when he emerges fully formed and, like, skeletal, like you were saying, and dripping oil, and then into the full, like, smoke monster, oogie boogie looking, singing Toxic Love.
And kind of possessing the two people who were operating the machinery, too, because they were kind of doing everything blindly that he was saying to do.
Took over the intercom, right? And he pretended to be their boss. But yeah, absolutely, playing them like puppets.
And it's very scary. It's just a very scary thing. And then to know that, like, that was in a tree and that is loose and that's coming for Fern Gully all the while. Pips, shout out to Pips. Pips realizes that Krista is, like, missing. Pips and the Beetle Gang are out looking for her. And she's, like, annoyed by that. I'd be so pissed off. He's like, what are you talking about? You're breaking this human into Fern Gully. I've been, like, busting my ass looking for you. Are you okay? She's like, yeah, look. He's like, okay, fine, I guess. But then we have, and it is when Pips is looking for Krista that they find the stereo, Sam, as you reminded me that they call it the stereo that they bring to Fern Gully later. But then we have Zach and Krista, like, climbing mushrooms, kind of like, this is the teaching moment, Jess, that you touched on. This is also the, like, what I think is funny. What do fairies, like, do for, like, a job? She's like, a job? I don't know.
What do you mean? Do? She didn't know, like, a lot of expressions.
Yeah.
What do you mean do?
What do you mean do? She's like, what do you do all day? She's like, I help things grow. He's like, rad.
He's very calm throughout the whole thing. Just casually climbing mushroom caps on the tree.
Yeah. With, like, no, I mean, I know he's, like, afraid later on. But, like, in these moments, he's just like, yeah, no, it's totally fine. I would be like, this is very high. I'm going to fall to my death. It is, I think, the difference between watching as an adult, watching as a child, and then also, like, carefree boys, right? Right, Sam? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, teenage boys, nothing can hurt me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm invincible.
Yeah, nothing can hurt me. I'm invincible. Like, hey, I'm small. It's totally fine. The bodacious babe, the tubular, that seems cool. Like the handshaking. Jess, you brought up something with the handshaking.
Oh, well, it's at the end. Should I pick it up every time I watch it? When Pips and Zach go to shake hands, they shake with their left hand. And then I was like, I watched that part again and I go, what is happening? And then I thought it was like a cultural thing after knowing this was made in Australia. I'm like, I wonder if they just shake hands in Australia with left hands. They don't. So I was just still think it's just one of those animation slip ups, I guess.
Yeah, slip up, or like they realized, oh, we have these guys. We have one on the left and one on the right, but we need to see Zach's arm from this angle or something like that. It's just weird.
I don't know. I know that there's like a graphic for the board game Candyland, and both of the siblings at one point are holding the same right hand and on opposite side. It's really weird. I have to find the graphic. I'll pull it up on our stories if we have it.
And I'll put it in the show notes if you find it.
Excellent. Sam, you're a boy. Why was Zach carving Krista's name on this tree?
Well, it's fun to use a knife.
Okay.
Mainly.
Fair.
Two, she might make out with me if I do this.
Mm.
And three, she might make out with me if I do this.
All right, boys. It's good. It's good perspective.
Did I mention it's fun to use a knife?
So then how do you feel when Krista is horrified and goes, can't you feel its pain?
Yeah, that must have been a little bit of a trip. I guess Zach doesn't get it quite yet. But yeah, I definitely do think of that whenever I walk by like a birch tree or whatever that a ton of teens have carved their names into.
Is that where do you think, can't they feel its pain?
I will now. I think Fern Gully affected me on a deeper level than remembering the exact words, but yes.
You weren't thinking about pain at eight. You were thinking,
right?
They look so cool.
They're being so cool. Krista pouts after this. She's like, you don't understand. And she like fucks off and pouts like down by the water. She's like, And Zach's like, well, shit. How am I going to fix this? And then like a boy just like dumps her into the river and off they go on a little like river adventure and like take us through the sights. And that brings us to Fern Gully with our introduction to our father and society in general. And we have the tape player that Pips brings in, and we have this dance break. I want to talk about this dance break and all of the songs in this movie, except for the baddie rap. The characters don't sing them.
Yeah, this is purely like background music. And you can tell, you know, in a bad like live action movie, you know, they don't actually play the music while they're filming, right? They just have to dance along to a beat that someone is like yelling out, or a click track or something. They did the same basic thing here, even though they didn't have the issue of like not wanting to overload the mics with the music. Like, you still need to record people talking. Didn't have that issue, but they still did it weird, super weird. It was a really bad job of like, you could tell that they're just kind of gyrating mostly to a beat, but definitely not to the beat of whatever song is being played.
No, and Zach's just like up there, like doing his thing.
It's just in there like, nah,
that part. Yeah.
It's a trip. This movie was a trip.
You're like, what is happening? Also, I have to give the props where props are due here. Zach completely takes over the situation, right? Like, Pips is starting to call him out. Like, everybody's starting to get a little antsy. He's a human tails, all this kind of thing. You know, you were a myth. And Zach's just like, nah. Music. We're dancing. Everybody's good here. And Pip doesn't like it. Pip's like, no, come here with me and the boys. I'll show you what a real good time is.
I think Pip was going to kill him.
I think so too.
I think Pip was going to straight up murder Zach.
I have a question that I'm just thinking about now. Did anybody see, aside from Krista, what a human looks like before seeing Zach? Or do they think that all humans are that tiny? Because Krista never says, I turned him small. Does she? He just shows up and they're like, yeah, he's human.
I thought she mentioned it.
Yeah.
I thought she said something like I had an accident.
Yeah, like
something.
My magic didn't work or something. Yeah. Yeah. But okay. good point. They could all be blonde, right? Like they don't know. They didn't like draw him as we see or anything.
Yeah, and Maggie was never like, these are, you know, like, here are hieroglyphics of what humans used to look like.
Which is probably best, because they, given the time period that this was being made, it probably would have been all white folks and not actually, like, Aboriginal people.
Mm. Good point. Okay. Sexy swim in the Starlight Cave is my next note. They go to the river, and they have a nice, like, river cruise situation where Zach doesn't have to breathe. Good for him. I'd be dead.
Maybe this goes with Sam's surfer theory.
Ooh, good point.
That could be. That's a really good point. Yeah, he's just super casual about following Krista wherever underwater, including into a log where, like, Zach, she might have gills for all you know. You don't know that she needs the surface too. And, like, her lung capacity is the same as you. Like, good Lord, that was the scariest part of the movie for me.
It was really scary. And then we have another, like, very sexy bite lip where Krista's, like, all wet in this cave. Like, what is going on? And then a nice spin animation situation.
And it's in, like, the glowworm cave.
The Tuca and Birdie glowworm cave. Oh, my God. Yeah. They turn on the lights. Oh, my
and
God.
And she keeps biting her lip, and he kisses her, and she's shocked.
Yeah, absolutely shocked. Her hands also glow for a little bit, too. And then they end up floating. Which, like, again, he's super chill about.
Yeah, he's like, whatever it takes, hook up with you. I'll deal with it.
I think that's what I texted you, Laura. I was like, he's handling this very well.
Yeah, very well. There's also another random song that's going on here. But after they kiss and, like, come out in, like, a little pond area. She's like, okay, I'm going to go get Maggie. Let's get you unshrunk, my guy. I don't know what that kiss was about. It was kind of weird. and she's like, wait right here. And Zach's like, how about not? And he starts to, like, fuck off a little bit. But then he touches some pollution and his hands turn red. And then he sees that the oil and is polluting the river, and we have a situation on our hands.
And so he gets it now, right? He's now he can feel their pain. He's, like, gained a little bit of fairy power.
How?
Yeah, didn't she touch his hand and he started glowing a little bit too? Like, did she transfer some fairiness?
It could have been the makeout.
Yeah, could have been a powerful makeout. Who knows? Who knows? Who can see? We have lots of dead trees. Zach's like, it's the leveler. And the leveler cuts down the tree that Zach had previously cut Krista's name into. So it tells us, the viewer, that the leveler is getting closer. So, oh my gosh, the plot is happening. Off Krista goes to Maggie. Maggie, Maggie. And Maggie's like, you know what? There's some shit going on. Look at example at this tree trunk stump that I cannot heal because it was done unnaturally. Humans did it. Humans did all of this. And this is where Chris is like, oh my God, like, Zach lied to me. Holy crap. The magic isn't red marks. They are, like, targets. Everything is coming. And this is also where Pip confronts Zach very publicly. And he's like, you bitch. I like Pips. I don't know. I really like Pips. I'm ride or die for Pips.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you didn't like Pips growing up? I don't remember much about him. I remembered Zach.
I don't remember anything about Pips.
Right.
Sam, but I sort of I mean, I remembered Pips once I saw him, but I would not have remembered his name. But yeah, the movie clearly sets him up to be, like, the bad kid or, like, the antagonist. Right. But basically, throughout the movie, he's perfectly justified.
And, yeah. Like he's the reasonable. He's the only one who cares about Fairy.
Yeah. Gully. Yeah. And all of his actions are, like, perfectly rational, more or less, especially at the end, which I will point out because I was like, this is where Zach confesses. And he's like, yeah, no, totally. Oops. We're there to destroy the forest. I was helping, and Batty was right. And I love that. I love that Zach takes the time to say, like, BT Dubs, nobody was completely right about this. And Batty's like, oh my God, like, that was really, like, super cool. Thank you for the shout out and for that, like, validation. It was just something that Zach didn't have to do. So I appreciated that.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. That was nice. So Maggie is like, yo, we got to do the shit now. Everything is happening. Hexus is coming. Hexus is alive. The fairies, like, we got to go to the tree. We got to go to the circle. Let's go. Let's go. So everybody starts, like, going to the tree. And this is where Maggie starts preaching and telling us our story, telling us about everything.
And dying.
And fucking right off. My note says, she's like, fuck off.
Y'all yeah. can deal with this shit. I'm out. Bye.
Yeah, she's like, here's a seed. Take it from here. Best of luck. I might come back as a force ghost later.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's really funny, too, because she's like, you know, all of creation, all in the seed. Like, let's all, you know, all the fairies are glowing. They all change colors. Like, everything is, the tree seals up everything. Maggie turns gray. The seed is imbued. It doesn't even matter because she loses it.
Yeah, straight up just promptly loses it. I should mention, I remember those seeds distinctly. Like, it's like a perfect oval spheroid shape. And, like, for some reason, that always stuck with me. Like, I remember the sort of size and aspect ratio of it.
You also mentioned the fruit, right?
Yeah, the fruit that Pips was eating at the beginning of the movie, like, when we first see him, I thought was, like, the most delicious looking. They were just berries or something, but they're, like, bigger than he was. It just looked amazing.
And I bet they were. The Australian rainforest. I bet they were. All right. I love how when the tree is sealing up, like, right? Like, all the fairies are in there. Everything's getting imbued. The tree is sealing up. Zach's like, me too. Me too. And, like, crawls inside.
And that's how he gets part of fairy magic. Because when Maggie fucks off, a little kernel of her fairy magic lands in him. And he's just like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's, it turns them all blue. And his, like, fairy heat, the kernel that Zach gets is also blue. And Maggie's like, look inside of you. The power of creation is in all of you. Goodbye.
It's unclear, by the way, like, why did she die? What was the deal there? She didn't say anything about, like, I'm sacrificing myself to give my power to you or anything like that.
Is it implied, though? Because she was the one person in fairy who was doing all the healing and shit, and then she got all the fairies to be in this one location, and then she's
not a Bene Gesserit.
She, like, dispersed all her magic, and each kernel went into one of the fairies, but the other fairies weren't healing. It was only Maggie.
Yeah, exactly.
She was over being the only one to carry the weight of Ferngully.
I agree. We're not given enough details about how exactly fairy magic works, and it's upsetting.
It is upsetting. I want details. My thought was that Maggie was a conduit for all of the power, and that it just burnt her up, imbuing the seed. However, that is disproven when Chris is just like, later. She's like, what about this one that she just picks out of nowhere?
Because the magic comes within you, and you give the you give.
So what was the show for, Maggie? You just wanted to die publicly?
Exactly.
For the drama of it all. If it's for the drama, you know what? Respect then. You know what? Respect. Drama for it all.
Well, let's recreate her whole narrative.
Yeah. You know what? I like it. All right. While this is all happening inside the tree, Hexus is arriving and we have a nice I'm back kind of moment. And the forest animals are fleeing, right? Everyone's kind of like pulling back to where the fairies are. And there is like nowhere else to go. And this is where Chris is like, yo, like, there is nowhere else to go. We have to fight. We have to do something. And then Zach is like, all right, like, let's do the thing. And this is where we have Batty doing an incredible amount of impressions as he takes Zach to the leveler. I wrote down John Wayne, Luke Skywalker, and Scotty from Star Trek.
At least, yeah.
At least, as he's taking him out there. And all of that is just a credit to Robin Williams, RIP. Just amazing. Just absolutely incredible. All before Aladdin 2, just amazing. Hexus then reveals himself to the workers and scares the shit out of them. That's the most realistic thing I've seen so far.
Oh, yeah, to the guys who are operating the leveler.
Yeah. And they freak out. Yeah.
Rightfully so. They're the only people who are acting right.
These two guys with, like, the strongest New York accents you've ever heard in the middle of the Australian jungle.
Maybe they're contractors. Maybe that's why nobody has an Australian accent. They're all consultants. They're contractors. They're just there for the job.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about America is only we can produce a machine so powerful, so incredible, that it takes up, like, a whole city block and does everything from eating the trees to spitting out boards on the other side.
Well, you know, it takes an American to work it, because it takes Zach to turn it off. Zach ends up sliding down the windshield of the leveler, gets in there, turns it off, turns off the key.
He gets in there because Pips pushes him in. Again, Pip's the only one, like, thinking, the only one who's, like, willing to do what it takes.
Yeah, because Chris is just like, with the magic, trying to, like, do something, and it's not working. It's just like, Krista, stop. You're embarrassing yourself. like, what are you even doing here? Like, what's going on? But then Zach inside turns off the leveler, and this is where Hexus is like, oh my God, like, where's the energy? And he gets, like, smaller and smaller and smaller, and he, like, sucks inside of the leveler, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's over. We did it. It's fine.
Until
explosion, and we have our enormous skeleton Hexus.
With fire, like fire eyes and whatnot, and yeah, final form.
Jesse would turn this off at this point?
Yeah. So I feel like this is, I don't remember anything after this part growing up. So watching this with fresh eyes as an adult, I was like, I missed so much.
Did you though?
That's what I was saying. Like, did you though? Like, really?
Because it's only like 5 minutes left in the movie.
I know, but I just want it. I mean, this tracks. I still don't watch horror movies.
This is, you know, she has not seen Stranger Things because it is too scary.
I still haven't watched one of the seasons in American Horror Story. I started with Coven because I love witches. And then I went to a couple seasons after that, and it took a while for me to go back to watch the original first two seasons during the day.
Doesn't have to be so damn scary. Why does it sound like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hexus is our big skull man, and Krista is like, All right. I can do this. She, like, puffs herself up, like, right? They're scared of that. She grabs the seed and she's like, this will do it. With no other fucking thought, zooms towards Hexus and he chomps her.
Big chomp.
So everybody was there with Maggie. She delivered the same message. Krista thought this, okay, let's plant the seed. We're growing things. I can't do anything about Hexus, but I can control the growing aspect of it. The fact that nobody else were like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's pull the seed from the same thing and all do that. There was just a more efficient way that could have been done.
Well, Pips.
Yeah, it's sort of unclear. And, like, was Krista, like, Maggie's apprentice or something?
She had to have been, right?
Granddaughter. Yeah, special relationship, because she was having like a one-on-one with Maggie at the beginning of this movie, right?
Yeah, like a passing of the torch.
It's like implied that, and she's there when Maggie turns into a force ghost, and it's like, I guess it's implied that she has some sort of special power that maybe the regular fairies, like her dad, who looks like the dad from Aladdin.
I thought that too!
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's what I have to say. Krista's chomped, and everyone's like, oh my God, Krista. And then Tim Curry starts sprouting a big, like, roots out of his head and, like, roots out of his body, and then a tree starts to grow. And then everyone's just like, and then Pips. Pips is the real one. Pips zooms out there. He's the only one. And he's like, come on. all of you assholes, get out here. Like, help it grow.
Who knew Pips was going to be this MVP we all loved?
Pips is the real one. He's the first one that zooms out there. Like, my note says, like, damn, he did it. And Pips, like, help it grow, help it grow. And then all of Fairy together help trap Hexus in a tree. So it is, I mean, this is the pattern. Again, like, you know, this is the pattern that we're talking about. Though, what's the guarantee this isn't going to happen again? They just did the same thing.
And it's in a land where the forest is completely chopped down. So if somebody who doesn't know all of this rainforest lore come back to see a depleted land with one tree, who's going to stop them and be like, oh, well, it's only one. And then we have all this space and all this real estate. He's going to get chopped down again.
Well, to be fair.
Well, that's what I think the hope is, supposedly, because Zach is like a changed man now, right?
I have to go be back.
Yeah, exactly. I've learned my lesson. Things are going to be different.
Well, I remember hating this ending as a child because it's not the romantic ending that you want. They had like a whole romantic like build up and storyline, and he leaves. As an adult, I love this. I love this so much. This fucking slaps, because what happens? All right. Hexus is, it turns into a cunty little tree. I don't know. It's like an S. Like, it's very cunty. It's like, I love it. And Krista is, opens up, like a flower blooms and Krista is inside of it. And, she is like, you know, and she's let out of it, but things like grow as she like comes out of the flower. So obviously, like, she is the new Maggie. Like, it has all come all the way around. And this is where Zach is like, I have to go back. It's like, whoa, okay. You clearly had that on your mind for a while. I just saved all of Fairy, but sure, I'm thinking about you. Okay. I thought that was funny.
By the way, I love that you are calling it Fairy. Because that's the convention for like so much of the literature that y'all usually deal with, right? They don't call it fairy in this movie.
No, it's Fern Gully.
I know. It's just a habit.
Fern Gully. It's just a habit. Zach promises that he will remember everything. This is the left hand shaking gesture you talked about earlier. Chris's magic.
That's also, for what it's worth, that's also a Boy Scout handshake. So maybe Zach is a
left
Boy Scout.
Left hand handshake is a Boy Scout handshake?
Yep.
Huh. You learn something every day. Huh. Krista's magic works. She unshrinks. He unshrinks Zach. And Zach goes up to the workers and he's like, oh my God, you guys, things have to change. And then Zach takes the seed that Krista gifted him and he plants it and he says, I will remember. And then Magic Krista is like, come on, everybody, help it grow. And then this is where the tree turns into the, like the most epically cunty tree with all of the flowers and all of the leaves and everything. Life returns to the forest. Bang, the end. For our children and our children's children. Jess, is that the first time you've seen that ending?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was looking up fun facts before I finished the rewatch of this. And I didn't see, like, I saw that in the fun facts before I saw the ending itself. What I thought was interesting with this movie in general, is this is the first film that was showed at the United Nations General Assembly, and Olivia Newton-John presented it as like a...
They made the assembled delegates of the United Nations General Assembly.
Watch this.
Watch.
You should see the movie.
Fern Gully?
But yeah. I feel like this was positioned to them as like this... You know,
environmental.
Yeah, an environmental piece. That's why they presented it on Earth Day. They viewed it on
Earth Day.
That's hilarious.
You didn't.
I did Model UN, and it was never that fun.
It was 1992.
It was never that fun.
Can you imagine? An hour. What do you think politicians are going to do? Let's just kill time for an hour here.
Consider this also. That means they had an army of translators behind the scenes talking in like 100 different languages.
Translating Krista.
Translating this simultaneously. They probably didn't have a script. They probably had to translate Bodacious Babe live. Can you imagine that?
The translator for, I think it's the Spanish version of this. It was just one person doing this entire movie.
He got into the Guinness World Book of Records for it.
Wow.
I have this.
This is the guy who did the live translation?
In Spain, it was dubbed into Spanish entirely by comedian, Angelo Garro, and earned him entry into the Guinness Book of Records. Good for him. Huh. I know, right? How fun. Just, what other fun facts do you have?
I've got one.
Give me it.
Ooh, share.
Yeah.
I was looking up Samantha Mathis to get her name. I came across this Guardian article, and I happened to see Christian Slater mentioned there, and I was like, oh yeah, probably going to be mentioned in the context of Ferngully. No. Apparently, she and Christian Slater dated after they met on her first movie, Pump Up the Volume, in 1990. So this was a reunion project for them.
I love that. That just makes it so much better.
Chris ended up with Pim.
Right.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh my God. Ah, I've got one. I've got that Robin gave 14 hours of dialogue and they expanded their role to give him more than the original 8 minutes.
Rightfully so.
So there's definitely not 14 hours of Robin Williams in there. Give us the outtakes. Give us everything that you left on the cutting room floor. I want to hear it.
I would love just like a series of all of his stuff. Like we talk about, Laura and I, we talked about release the Snyder Cut for their Crescent City 3. Like release every Robin Williams cut, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I have one more fun fact. My fun fact is that the original Toxic Love had to be redone because it scared kids too much and the lyrics were a bit too sexual.
Release the Snyder Cut. Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 So kids were crying.
Someone has a copy of that and they have recut Rocky Horror Picture Show to Toxic Love explicit version.
We need it. We need it. Someone tell us. Yeah. Can you imagine?
No.
No. I wonder if there's like one of the midnight Rocky Horror screenings where people like leading up until like the midnight viewing, somebody has to have Toxic Love uncut.
Oh my gosh.
Now I'm imagining showing up to one of the theatrical screenings as Hexus.
As Hexus.
You'd be, people would be like, yes.
I'm just covered in oil.
It's amazing. Oh, my God. That would be very fun. It is worth mentioning that Sam has done the live show of Rocky Horror Picture Show, got on stage.
Yeah. I mean, you have to if you're a virgin. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming y'all are both virgins. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. We got to do it sometime.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay. Jess, do you have more fun facts?
No, I feel like I've integrated them pretty well. There's one more. There's just that this movie is actually based off of a book by Diana Young.
Yes. On bedtime children's stories as well, like with the director and his wife and like all of this situation. Okay. Do we think that this movie holds up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, especially since it's so short, I gotta say, if it were like an hour and a half or hour 45, it would get a little much maybe, but it's tight.
Yeah.
Timestamp watermark here. It feel like it's only a matter of time till they do like a live action CGI the way they did the Lion King, which was live action.
They did do that, Jess. It's called Avatar.
Oh. I've never seen the first Avatar.
It's basically Ferngully.
It is. Oh. It is basically Ferngully, like to a T.
I've seen the second
like,
one.
More technology.
So, okay.
Yeah.
But you saw the wet one.
You saw wet Avatar. Dry Avatar is Ferngully.
Okay. So now we have to go to Pandora down in Orlando. Okay.
There you go. So my next question for both of you would be, can you think of another movie like this in the like modern era? Like, is there something like comparable nowadays?
I mean, other than Avatar?
Yeah, other than Avatar. Something that is like explicitly environmental. Avatar is like, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in Avatar.
But can't you argue that like sci-fi and fantasy and just like genre is supposed to appeal to the masses with these underlying themes that we talk about that like that wouldn't necessarily you wouldn't necessarily process to be like, oh, this is so much deeper than just entertainment. Like, that's what I feel like this also was for some people. It was like, this is so fun, but not understanding the deeper meaning to it.
Maybe, but I mean, it's pretty hard to avoid. And you also have to remember, like, Save the Rainforest is not so much of an environmental rallying cry nowadays. Yeah. Like, nowadays it's stop climate change and all that stuff. But, like, Save the Rainforest in the early 90s was, like, the thing that if you were an environmentalist, you were obsessed with, right? And so I feel like in context, it would have been impossible to ignore that. And then at the end with, like, for our children and our children's children, it makes it pretty explicit.
So I was thinking, the reason that I brought up this question is that there is a conversation happening about Bluey, which is the, like, kids cartoon Bluey. And that conversation is about how those episodes are very much for kids, but the like deeper meanings very much are for parents, and parents end up like sobbing a lot during Bluey. And it deals a lot about, like, you know, social emotional health and mental health and, you know, big things like moving and schools and family and all of these kind of things. And I am asking because while it is absolutely wonderful that things like this happen and exist for children and that we're exploring all of these things, I am wondering if there is something that has an environmental message in it that is given the same amount of airspace as like social emotional health and growth. Because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. And with the prevalence of climate change and just like science education in general in schools and where everything is going on, I do feel like that would be helpful. However, the censorship that is happening in media in certain places, I can see people seeing a blatantly environmental message on something and being very upset about that.
Yeah, you thought people were pissed off at Disney about gay rights and trans issues and all that stuff. I would love to see Disney come out with a Fern Gully 2 or whatever and see the reaction to that. That would be pretty fun.
Okay. What are we thinking? How do you want to wrap this?
We're wrapping it right now. Y'all don't even know, but episodes that I guest on, I get to make all the decisions.
Okay, Jess, do you like this movie?
I do like this movie. It's fun. I was thinking I was going to show it to my niece this weekend. I was like, oh, this is fun. She likes fairies. She likes nature. She loves all of this. And she's really into science right now. Like, she wants an ant farm. She loves insects. Ooh. We watch things about volcanoes. So that's been really fun. Tornadoes and hurricanes. So, like, try to explain it to her so she doesn't get scared. So this would just go ahead and add to it.
Oh, how fun.
Something that might be fun is try and identify all the species that you see.
Oh, yeah. All the different animals or all the different plants as well. Sam, do you like this movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
100% holds up. It was surprisingly funny. I knew Robin Williams was going to slay it, but I underestimated Tim Curry's. I didn't underestimate his ability, but I underestimated how much he was given to work with and how much he killed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Laura?
I love this movie. I think the animation holds up. In a world of CGI and movies starting to look really terrible, it is lovely to look back on something that is so old. This is so old. And to have it not only like not look like shit, but to still look good. And that is a difference. Like, something not looking like shit doesn't have to be good. And this still looks really good. Like, the lights, the fairies, like, everything is still really lovely. So I would recommend this. And Jess, if you show this to your niece, I would just love to know what she thinks of it. And maybe, maybe she is Christopher Halloween.
Oh, we have her Halloween costume. She told me, she goes, I don't have the dress yet. And I go, I could buy you the dress. And she goes, oh, well, then buy me the dress. So we already have our Halloween costume picked out. With all that being said, thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time. Feel free to follow us on Instagram or at Acafe Podcast. We're also both on TikTok, Acafe Laura and Acafe Jessica. Feel free to reach out. And thanks for taking the time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.